Are we recording?
All right, everyone, welcome to Sissy Boys.
Welcome.
We're back in the studio.
Why do you always get to start
it? Go ahead, you start it.
I'm going no mic today.
No, Cooper.
No mic today.
No, we can't keep making decisions like this in the moment. we're doing this podcast a cappella.
Yeah, it's an improv podcast. Come on.
Hey,
dude.
Everyone. Welcome to the Sissy Boys Pod. My name's Matt LeGrand.
That's an improv podcast right there.
I'm Cooper, the C-Man Leiden.
I'm Dan Donahue. We've all had pretty interesting weeks. Cooper, can you tell people how you almost didn't make it to the podcast?
Yeah, Cooper, tell us
Stop.
How you...
Stop.
Okay.
I had a horrific day.
Well,
the good part about the Bay Area is the nature. I don't want to do anything else in that area.
It's just go to the nature.
Look at trees. So I had a day before I left. I woke up at 8. I got out to the forest at like 10:30. Looking for redwoods.
Looking for redwoods.
Well, just to back up, you went to San Francisco.
Yeah. And then we'll get to that too. But this is the most dramatic part. But I walked for like probably close to an hour just to get to this one area with redwoods. And then I got there and I was like, this is beautiful. Time to put on the glasses and really get a look, because I have slightly bad vision. And then I looked, and the glasses were gone.
Gone.
And I realized I put them in my hoodie pocket and threw the hoodie over my shoulder, and they were gone.
Oh, my God.
So now I was like, okay, I'm going to walk back. I had pictures on my phone of when I had my glasses, so I knew.
How far into the woods are you at this point?
I mean, I'd walked for, like, easily over a mile, like, on trails.
I'm sorry, okay. Just to clarify, so you put your glasses on, and then you realized they were gone.
No, what?
I tried to.
No, he was looking.
Why would you
for
even ask
glasses?
A question like that?
I'm just saying that's how you explain. I'm objectively, like, if I was a listener.
No, because I
said
had the.
I put them on and then they were gone.
No, I said I'm gonna put them on, and then in the attempt.
Okay,
right. Just think about what you say.
A lot of the people who listen are English is their fourth language.
It's true.
That is true. Honestly,
we have a very intelligent subscription.
Thanks for tuning in, but. Yeah, I realize they're gone, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to look at the entire trail back to the point where I had them, and I'm walking the entire trail, go back to that point, they're not there, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to look on the sides of the trail all the way back, and now I'm like only walking like 2 feet every like 10 seconds, because I'm zigzagging, really giving it honestly a thorough look, and then I go all the way back, they're not there, I come back, the feeling of defeat has really set in now, and I'm still looking. But it's bad. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life.
So now, why it was so heightened for you is you had to drive back from San Francisco to LA, which is like a 6-7 hour drive with no glasses.
Yeah, it's a 6 hour drive. And
you called me when you were in the woods.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like 127 hours where you were going to have to like gouge your eyes out and make new ones to find your way home.
It began to feel like that.
Yeah.
It began just the thought. And the entire time when you have bad eyes is your body's reminding you.
Okay, so here's I thought it would be fun to brainstorm ways you could have gone home. Number one, you go to Haight-Ashbury,
okay?
You find a guy who's freaking out
just
on
gross.
The street. Gross guy. You say, hey, do you want to go to L.A.? He'll say, absolutely. You say, you be the eyes, I be the ears.
I let him drive my car?
No, you let him sit passenger.
Oh.
I'm not crazy. You're driving.
Yeah.
He tells you everywhere to go.
He just tells me what's going
he
on.
He goes, the street lights are bananas. You say, calm down. We have to do this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I go, okay, that means yellow.
Yeah.
It takes me a little while. I'm like, okay, I just got to figure out your language.
Yeah.
How you're talking. The worst part was, is like, you know, I was in the woods till like 4:30.
Getting dark.
Yeah. And that's why I knew I had to leave. And I searched for those glasses for 3 hours, which at the end of it, I was like, I feel stupid for even having looked.
Yeah.
Like at the end of it, I was like, you should have just left.
I was amazed at how calm. I thought so many trees were about to get punched when you called me.
No.
I thought you were about to take down the entire forest.
I went through a lot of emotions. At first, it was really negative of just being like, you are such a dumb piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And then it just felt of like, fuck, I'm so sad I ruined what could have been a good day. And, you know, the problem is it's such a beautiful expanse of nature. But
oh,
then
yeah.
Once you lose your glasses, it goes from beauty.
It's shit.
You're up against it now.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
now, like, everything that was beautiful about it is now working against
Trying
you.
To kill you.
Yeah, because the forest, you know, is endless.
How bad is your vision?
It's fine. Like, I can drive, like, safely, but it's just, like, if I'm in the city, it's annoying because it's, like, I can't read that street sign. But, like, it's not to the point of, like, is that a cyclist? Like, it's it's totally okay.
Do you know what your prescription is?
No. And then... And the worst part was I was wearing, like, normal-ass clothes.
Okay, to start the podcast, Matt, you were on one. Cooper, that was rude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to parse this out.
Wait, what?
You were on one in the beginning of the podcast. Now Cooper's on one.
But I'm sort of like...
Why was Cooper on one?
Cooper's on one right there when
he
said
no. Dismissed me?
Yeah, he dismissed you.
Yeah, and also, like, why would you confidently say, like, no? Like, who knows their prescription?
You should know your prescription.
Well,
I
also...
I have horrible vision?
Okay.
Sorry, I just want to make this.
I have perfect vision in every way, and that
like
doesn't
very,
help.
Very
that doesn't
vision.
Help the conversation, but I want people to know I have more than 20/20 vision.
I wear contacts.
I don't.
In my mind, I was like, it's crazy to ask me that question. I don't seem like a guy that like is.
Isn't that the core of like how self hatred can come all the way around to making others feel uncomfortable?
It's my personality.
That's my personality.
If you're ever watching this, and you're
why
like,
why do you think I care enough about myself to
right,
know these
right.
things.
Exactly.
My blood type, D-.
Get with it.
My blood type, I punched myself in the face yesterday. You think I know my blood type?
Yeah. But then when I called you, I was just feeling such defeat.
You were in a state of peace.
I began to feel so lonely in the woods. I was just like, I feel dumb.
Now, mind you, you're saying all this. You were a mile into the woods.
Oh, that's... No. I didn't mean it in the way of, like, how am I going to get out of here?
I was in the woods. It was closing in on me. The night was drawing near. I heard the wolves. I heard the coyotes. I was trying to make my way back. One problem. I couldn't even see.
It was a mile. Anyone from the Bay Area knows you can go 10 feet in the woods and you're gone. Like, you're safe, but I'm saying, like, it's really easy to forget.
Sure.
And the thing is like, I was wearing normal-ass clothes. I was wearing, like, pants. I was wearing... Stan Smith's, and I was wearing a hoodie, which at first I was fine with, because it's very funny to look like an idiot when are hiking. But then to look for my glasses, I would then ask people if they had seen them, which meant I had to announce to anyone walking by, like, I'm an idiot.
Dude, we haven't told the story on the podcast about when we climbed Mount Baldy in 3 feet of snow in sneakers and jeans.
Yeah.
You too?
Yes.
Wasn't I in, like, running pants? No, I was in jeans.
I remember this. We have a picture of it. We were both in jeans. Mount Baldy is in California. Me and Cooper had never really hiked a big mountain before. And we were just dumbasses. And we were like, let's climb Mount Baldy. Hell yeah. That's a big-ass mountain.
Yeah.
It's a day hike, but it's a big-ass mountain.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go. I was wearing running sneakers and jeans. Cooper was wearing running sneakers and jeans. I was in a hoodie. Cooper was in a hoodie. No clips, no sticks, nothing to climb this mountain. We go there. The beginning is fine because there's no snow because the snow is at the top of the mountain. But we were like, oh, we'll just like the last 100 yards or whatever will be snow. We're fine. We get up there halfway up the mountain. We're traipsing through a foot of snow.
Yeah.
That had already
probably easily more than a foot.
In the beginning it was a foot. And then as we got up, we were like waist high in the snow. People were walking by us. Not like they couldn't believe we were hiking without equipment. They couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Yeah.
They were like, this can't be, this is like a, because we look so stupid.
When it started, people walked by, they'd be like, oh, like you're not wearing that. Like it was kind of fun. And then once we got to the snow, people are just like, are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, they were mad.
Because people also get mad at the fact of like, we're still going
to
do it,
though. Oh, we're getting to the top of that
like,
mountain.
And that's what, that was a good day I learned of like stupidity can get you far.
Oh, yeah.
And like that's honestly, I was thinking that a lot in the woods. I was like, just let your dumbassery, because it's all you've had in here.
Yes.
Let it get you out.
Maybe they felt insecure seeing you guys.
I hope so.
I hope they
like looked at you and they were like, why? They're like, I'm a fucking nerd. I'm wearing like snow boots.
Yeah.
And
these I paid $400
just, like,
for this equipment.
These guys are just like,
you know what? I would agree with you, Matt.
Tennis shoes.
I would agree with you, Matt, until we started going down the mountain and we're slipping every 10 feet.
Oh, my God.
We looked like it was truly Three Stooges all the way down that mountain.
But can I just clarify? It was Two Stooges because I wasn't invited.
You would have hated it.
Why?
We didn't know
you
back then either, really.
Things. Also, you just talked about how you were lost in the woods and you guys have this like
trauma
bonding.
Are you getting mad about not being invited to something that we did 4 years ago?
Yeah.
It was so long ago.
Yes.
So long ago.
It was
this
so
was a time
long
where
ago.
You passed me one time and didn't even acknowledge me.
I didn't know it was you. I thought I was getting hit on the street.
Why? Because I said hello?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Wow, your ego is out of control.
If anybody
it
else
happens
said
all
that,
the time. I can't walk outside without getting
I could
people.
I didn't even look at you. I just heard someone go hello and I was like, I'm not acknowledging you. You're like, this person wants to have sex with me. I gotta keep walking.
Honestly, even if you're not getting hit on, if somebody you don't know says hello, it's like, fuck you.
But how do you know that you don't know them if you don't look at them?
But you didn't say hello, Dan, or whatever. You just said hello.
Well, I didn't remember your name at that time.
Why are you saying hello?
Because I knew him from the Lyric Hyperion mic.
The beautiful Lyric Hyperion
I knew
mic.
Him from crushing.
Oh, just demolishing that room. Getting up there being like, hey.
You've also, I think, mentioned Dan not saying hi to you on like every episode.
Just
I
about.
I think so.
At no, least, just at least at one more.
Well, it is just like at a very, it, you know what? One thing that I find a lot of like, I feel like a proud father.
Yes.
Is that like, I remember probably seeing Cooper for the first time at the Lyric Hyperion bombing so hard for like 6 months.
Notorious.
And everyone was like, who is this 12-year-old
people talk
child
about the first
bombing?
6 months of Cooper doing stand-up more than they talk about
then,
me doing stand-up now.
And then he...
You've heard other people talk about this?
Oh my God.
Well,
yeah.
It's
so funny.
Jake Norwin was like, yeah, it's so crazy that like Cooper, I mean, he's so funny now, but the first 6 months it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. One time Jake was like, because I would talk about like world issues.
Yeah.
And like not.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was talking about.
And like the points I were making were not like bad, but it just didn't make sense why I was talking about it.
You were
it.
The youngest person there. You were not through any fault of your own, the least respected person there because you were the newest in comedy and the youngest. And like.
And
you decided and pissed and you decided you would talk about subjects where you would need to have kind of esteem to talk
doing
about.
Doing like angry liberal Bill Maher.
Right.
Like if that I remember Jake was like, yeah, I remember one time you were like, you know, talking about like politics or something. And then you mentioned your brother and it was so funny.
Yeah.
And we were all like, what the fuck? Wait, what? What was that?
Yes.
And then eventually I was like, oh, I'm just going to only talk about myself.
Personal
because
stuff.
Then nobody can be like, you're wrong. You know,
I will just say this in conclusion to this topic is it's a huge compliment because everyone is like, wow, Cooper's so funny now. But it's like it's very fun to remember like, oh, that was that little kid that we were all like, who the hell is this person who is like in a family of drug addicts and is like trying to like dominate topics like World War II.
So pissed.
And then he's Cheers. Bombing, but now he's like, we're like, oh my God, that's Cooper, the really funny guy, Cooper.
Yes. Well, it's also.
And then who is Dan, this person who doesn't know who Matt LeGrand is? And then like 4 years later, we're like, oh my God, he knows
well,
who Matt
LeGrand
is.
Well, I had a similar moment where I used to only talk about politics, and then something clicked in me where I'm like, I'm only going to talk about not knowing Matt LeGrand. And that's when my comedy really skyrocketed.
People loved it.
When I went on stage and I was like, who, Matt?
Yeah. You'd be like, who
that
is
was
it?
That was my big catchphrase is who, Matt?
And then Matt would be in the back. He'd be like me. And you're like, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
No, but that's the biggest compliment you can get in comedy by far is, hey, you were bad and you got better. Or just you got better because it's not like everybody will always say like you're and it's usually bullshit, especially in LA when someone says you're funny. They are mostly doing a political move.
Yeah.
They are mostly like positioning their being like, I want to be a person that you think that I think you're funny.
Yeah. That's
and shit
why,
like that.
That's well, why I knew Matt was being honest. And that, I felt closer to Matt after because Matt said what he just said to my face before we talked a lot. He was like, I remember you would just bomb and it was horrible. And he's like, but then something changed.
Yeah, because it's like, acknowledging that you used to be bad. And it's like, you're not stroking someone's ego because I think a lot of people, their ego wants them to believe like I was talented from the beginning.
Yeah.
The first second I got on stage, everyone knew. And it's like, no, most of the time you suck shit for years.
It's a cool moment because you're like, oh, okay, here we go again. And then he gets on stage. You're like, oh, wait, that was good.
Yeah.
I had a good set. The first set I ever did.
Yeah,
I don't think I talked about anything important. And if you get lucky on the first one.
No,
if you don't get lucky, you suck.
And it's never like a straight line. Like you do good and bad. I mean, hey, I did. It wasn't that. I did a middling, I feel, performance for that birthday party that I just did. So So it's like you never...
Oh, you don't feel great about it?
I feel good about it. There's certainly things that I could have changed to make it better. It was the first time I did like a private gig like that. I just did a private birthday party in New Orleans, which was the sickest thing in the world. The birthday girl knew who I was, and they flew me out, paid me so well, and were all so nice and stuff.
Six figures, right?
The way they paid you, too... You sent me a picture.
Four, yeah, it's eight figures.
They paid Dan in just a stack of hundreds.
It was the they're the coolest. They were dancers. They were a lot of them were strippers. And
what if they just paid you in dirty ones?
I would have loved just it. I would have stuffed it in my suit, dude. I would have posed with it in lingerie on my bed.
You just stuff it into your pants.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
I would have draped it over myself on stage.
Yeah.
One of the funny things that happened is when I was on stage, because it's a part, first of all, roasting, the person whose birthday was wanted me to roast them, and I obviously said yes, and I did a good job of that.
The birthday person knew that you were going to roast them.
Yes, they
okay,
knew.
That wasn't a surprise.
No, that wasn't a surprise. Okay. Roasting someone in New Orleans is the hardest thing in the world, because New Orleans, A, is this fun, intoxicating energy of, like, happiness and positivity for the most part, and it's like, I dated someone from New Orleans. I know sis and them too, where it's like they don't communicate through roasting for the most part there. Like that's an East Coast thing. Mm-hmm. And like West Coast people, especially like I've noticed like all my Jewish friends and stuff kind of have that same sort of way of communicating. But in New Orleans, it's all like, no, we love each other. Yeah. So when I started roasting, people were visibly, and one of them audibly was like, you better not be that mean, dude. They were like, there was a dude behind me as soon as I started who was like, yo, I got you if he said something like,
you better roast her about how beautiful she is.
Which I did in a way.
You are so
your ass.
If that guy kicked my ass. Yeah, it would have been. I mean, I ended up talking to him for a while. He was one of the coolest dudes of all time. But he was very much like, you better not like fucking make fun of her. But I started the comedy. A few very funny things happened. One of the strippers who was there, who was just having a good time, did not mean to throw me off or whatever, but was like take your shirt off or whatever. And I thought that was so funny, because that's like if I went to a strip club and was like, tell a joke.
Right, right.
Do something funny.
Did you say like, that's not my job?
Yeah. I was like, don't you want a break from that?
I think a good example of like the vibe you're talking about in New Orleans of like just having fun is like one of their biggest traditions involves just showing your tits.
Yeah.
To get a necklace.
Yeah.
Just for positive energy.
To get a beautiful necklace.
Yeah, for no other reason than to
a
be like,
a plastic necklace.
Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
Isn't this fun?
Isn't this funny? And I don't need anything real for it. Just like, give me a symbol.
Enough necklaces to show this is how fun I've been tonight. You see someone with all those necklaces, you're like, you have been fun.
But after the roast itself went well. I'm always going to be judgmental of any of my performances, especially one where I do a lot of pre-writing for. So I think I did good, especially for the jokes. I think some of the jokes I wrote were incredibly good.
They were incredible.
But two things I wish I had done. One, I wish I had done more prep work. Like I wish I had asked more personal questions, because the things people really liked in that situation, which I should have, well, I kind of know now, were the super personal things. Like, it's not roast battle where no one, like, everyone knows her and knows the people I was talking about in her life. Like, I talked about one of her ex-boyfriends, and that was, like, the biggest pops in the room, because they all knew who her ex-boyfriend was. And they were like, oh, it's crazy. He knows who her ex-boyfriend was.
Can
and
they're you, like, can you tell one of the jokes that went over well?
Yeah. Paige used to date a BMX superstar. BMX stands for bald, manipulative, extremely short.
Oh my god, that must have
that's
crushed.
Fun.
She fell on the floor
because they're like, "We hate Chris too."
Yeah, we absolutely hate Chris.
Yeah,
everybody was like together on that one. But after the show, I did like a lot of warm up and stand up, which I also shouldn't have done. That I should have gone right into the roasting.
People weren't into the stand up.
They weren't. No.
I mean,
it felt
how
like they
could
weren't.
You do material?
How could I do material
in a house?
Right. I tried to do like.
So I know what you guys are thinking. I'm from Boston.
No, I never. I did like my party shit. So I talked about being a caterer, which was kind of good because it talks about DJs and all of them deal with DJs and stuff. But it's like, and then I tried to do sex shit, but they were like, just get to the roasting, and I did. I cut out a lot of the stand up just to get to the roasting, but it's like. After my set, I was in my room feeling okay. It's like how you feel after even a good set. You're like, you have to decompress a little bit. So I'm in my room. I'm laying on the bed. I'm watching TV, just kind of like trying to breathe and chill before I go back downstairs. These two people are doing a tour through the house. Like, I kind of hear them going around. I'm like, oh, I bet they'll open my door. So it wasn't like a big surprise. This woman opens the door and like sees me on the bed. And I'm like, oh, hi. Don't worry about it. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, it's okay. And she was like, you're the comic, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm the one in the zebra
You're
shirt.
The comic?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm the one in the zebra shirt. And she was like, a little constructive criticism. One of the first things she says to me, not good set, never that.
What
which
if
is,
you just said no?
I was so taken aback that I couldn't really react to it. But she was like, a little constructive criticism. I was like, okay. And she was like, I don't think you should have made fun of strippers the way that you did. And I was like, okay. She was like, yeah, when you made fun of clients, it was funny. But when you made fun of strippers, it wasn't funny. And people didn't think it was funny.
What did you say?
To her? Or
no,
about
no.
strippers?
Yeah.
I mean, I had some, like, here's the thing.
It was a roast of a stripper.
I know. My knee-jerk reaction was to be that. It's a roast of a stripper. I'm a comedian. Like, this is what comedy is. Like, all that stuff went in my head. But I was able, I think that was some, like, my ego talking. And I look back on it, it's like, some of the jokes, like when you're roasting and stuff, some of the jokes do play off of like tropes, right? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I played off of tropes. I played off of like, I know strippers don't do not all strippers do cocaine all the time, but I had a joke about cocaine. I know strippers don't give like hand jobs in the back, or at least it's not like a mainstay or a staple of stripping, but I had a joke about giving hand jobs in the back. Yeah. And it's like, for a roast, sometimes you have to play off of those tropes.
It's the worst form of stand-up.
It's the worst form of stand-up. And if you were to put those jokes in front of me and be like, do you stand by this joke? I would probably be like, no. So my knee-jerk reaction was like, get it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this, you don't understand. But it's like, in reality, that woman was just kind of talking about her experience watching me. And was having a real moment where she was like, yeah, those things, like, I feel weren't funny, and I feel like I can help this guy out by telling him that I didn't feel like they were funny. And I appreciate that. I mean, like, the way that she approached it, like, but she was partying and stuff, so I don't hold this against her, but it's like, right after my set, when I'm clearly in my room by myself trying to decompress, that is not the time to approach someone with criticism like that. It's like, I was very taken aback. I was very emotional after she had said that, because it made me feel bad about a set that I was already like, well, it was good, but it wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
So like, that's my only critique of her saying that. But in general, it's like, I do appreciate that. And like, if I do another gig like that, I will try to play less off tropes and more on like the personal information given to me.
It sounds like the jokes that you did, if you were doing a roast like that at the Comedy Store and you were versing a stripper and the rest of the audience is not dancers.
Exactly.
They would have loved it because that's all they can connect on. But
yes.
The context of that is everyone is in that industry.
Yes.
So you would have to have super
specific examples.
Where it's like everyone thinks that this is what goes down, but we actually know.
I guess my
like more, they would get more into jokes where it was like making fun of the stereotypes that people think.
And you're just up there being like, you are sinners.
So you did it like,
you
did jokes that would reach a mass audience, but you were with such a niche.
I did both. I did jokes that would reach a mass audience, but I also did I did jokes about like the line to the ATM at a strip club, and I did jokes about like the clients that strippers had, but I also had jokes about like, because not everyone there was a stripper.
It would have been fun if you like interviewed a friend or someone you knew who was a dancer and been like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's so much I could have done better, and it's like, especially in that.
I'm just thinking that like sounds like a fun idea. Like,
no, it does. No, that would have been fun, and it would have been smarter
but, hey,
to do.
I think you did great, and I support you. And
no, I don't. I that stuff doesn't help me at all.
Do you want a hug?
Regardless of how you feel about the set, do you have that money in your pocket?
Yes. And that was great. No, and everybody had that mindset there where it's like, I'm sure people there have had like, you know, have had jobs where they finish dancing and they go like, maybe that wasn't my best. Or
I'll tell you
whatever.
What, you're not the worst guy they've met. You're far from it, you know?
I guess you're right.
You are not the worst fella.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Wait, can you talk about the really funny interaction?
Oh my god!
Actually, can you
about
not
your girlfriend?
Just maybe, just don't.
Yeah, no, I will talk just about don't. That. So
it's so funny
after the party. So obviously, I have a girlfriend.
It's obvious if you look at him.
Everybody knows this, and so I'm at the party. I'm just hanging out. I'm mostly talking to the guys because like the women, they're just having a good time. They're on the dance floor and stuff, and it's like that's not my thing. I'm chilling. And you know who loves chilling
you're like,
outside?
Did you like my
God
set?
God forbid yeah. I have a good time on the dance floor.
Well, you know who loves chilling. Outside of the dance floor at a party, the dudes.
The fellas
love that.
It's like dads at a kid's birthday party. Exactly. It's like, we're going to hang on the side.
So there was a woman there, just for anonymity, I won't say who true. She was, but she was one of the friends of the woman I was roasting.
It was Beyonce.
One of the funniest. It was Beyonce. No, she's one of the funniest people I have ever met, who's just like a real I was on the ground laughing at some of the things she was saying, but one of the things was like, I was just hanging out, clearly, like, women were going in the pool, and I was staying away from the pool, and she looked at me, and she was like, who's your girlfriend? And I hadn't mentioned that I had a girlfriend.
Well, these
like,
women were in thongs
and,
slash top.
Yeah. Which, and she goes, like, no one was topless. But she goes, who's your girlfriend? I hadn't mentioned that I had a girlfriend. And I was like, oh, Tony. And she was like, she must be doing something right. And I was like, what do you mean? And
she was
like,
didn't she say what's she doing?
Yeah, what's she doing? Yeah, and I was like, oh, what do you mean? And she was like, she must be doing something right. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, you're here talking to me right now.
Yeah.
And there's all these like all these women around. She doesn't know that even if I was single, that would not be the situation in which I try to hook up. Ever.
Why?
In a million years. It's too much. It's just not my bag. It's like kind for me, it's like that situation feels A, I'm working. I want to be professional. I'm not if you hit on someone while you're like working and stuff, it's just such a more heightened thing. And that would be in the back of my head where it's like, oh, well, I'm here doing a job and here I am being
this is
like
such
lecherous.
A professional mentality in the post Me Too movement. Congrats, Dan.
You gotta be like so many people have to be, you know, knocking at the door, let alone having a girlfriend. But like so many people have to be wanting to fuck you for you to be like, I'm trying to be professional at this party of strippers.
Wait, but
that's it's a slim margin.
But
say the funniest.
Oh,
part.
The funniest part is like she was like, so what is she doing? And as a joke, I said, you know what she's doing? Like my girlfriend, I said, you know what she's doing right now? Sleeping soundly, because like she knows that even though I'm at a party full of strippers, I would never ever try to like cheat on her. So I was like, you know what she's doing? She's sleeping soundly. And this woman, without a pause, says, she's on her third dream right now.
Yeah. Third dream.
She's on her third dream.
She's in REM right now.
You know
that bitch
I know?
On her third dream
this
right
is
now.
A perfectly, this is a person who like could easily be in and demolish stand-up is because not only did she come up with a joke right away, it's the perfect number.
Yeah.
Three is the perfect number of
dreams.
Well,
she went like A to C. And like,
yeah,
like,
immediately.
It is such a, is that something people say? Like, damn, I bet your girlfriend's on her third dream right now. Like,
No. That's not a phrase.
It is so funny, and
it's
I'm
so
gonna
funny.
Like use that forever.
I know, dude. It's
it is
so,
so funny.
Funny. It like that could be a colloquialism. She's on her third.
Damn, like you see a girl in a club, and she's just like minding her own business, and you're like, damn, I bet her boyfriend's on her third
on
dream.
On his third
on his
dream,
third
right,
dream
now.
Right now.
Yeah,
like that is such a funny.
It's so
thing.
Good. No, I'm gonna keep using.
I wish
that.
I knew what the word colloquialism meant, but
like a phrase, like a saying, like a known saying.
Okay, you don't have to make me feel stupid.
No, now you're smart.
Now you know.
But whenever Matt learns anything, it's that sound.
Yeah. What if you just tried to do like really New Orleans roast where you're like, you can't even make a roux? Everyone's just like, what the fuck are you
talking
about?
I talked about Shreveport.
Yeah?
Yeah. I said her ex looked like if Caillou was from Shreveport, and then I said he looked like Caillou from the Bayou.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I brought some whiskey to this party because I was just on Bourbon Street. Hey-o!
Someone
hey-o. Shoots you in the audience.
No, the woman I was talking to also said something that was really nice. She was like, I thought it was going to be crickets when you were on stage.
That's
but it was.
Great.
And that was good to
it's
know.
A good compliment.
Yeah, it's a good compliment. Because it's like, and she was like, I thought that you were going to just use the information that we gave you and just repeat it verbatim. But she was like, you really did something with
they're
it.
They're like, we paid you $1,000 to bomb and you did pretty good.
And you did
and
okay.
That sucks. And you then didn't sleep with any of of us, which is we wanted you to bomb and then fuck all of us.
And then try.
What if
least.
They paid you more when you didn't try and fuck anybody?
That would have been awesome.
They gave like, you $100 every time a girl in a
I don't think they would have cared, but it's like I just think that that shit is unprofessional. I think that they understand it too,
is.
Where it's like when you're working in any like entertainment job, it's like just be professional.
Hate how every time you talk, you become like you reveal that you are a really good person with integrity. It's so stupid.
I mean,
I'm a straight man and I respect women in the industry and I'm professional and I will not hit on you in the job.
I mean, it's like, but here's
can
the
you
difference.
Just be
if
a monster?
I was, if I was single and I was the guy that they just invited there to the party, it's like, sure, but it's like, I'm not only a guest, I'm an employee.
You're getting paid.
I'm getting paid. Yeah. I'm an employee at that party. So it's like, that's why I spent so much time not in the party room. Not because I was like I could have like messed something up, but I'm like, this is their thing. This isn't my thing.
No, that's such a respectable,
like, the clown,
like thoughtful mindset.
It's like the clown hanging at the kids' party after.
Yes.
Like, this is cool.
just mingling with 7-year-olds.
There's also like the evil version of you that would be like, I don't even need to try and fuck them.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you're the nice version of like, well, I don't. That's just not.
Well, A,
not
I right. have a girlfriend, and B, even if I didn't, I wouldn't have really.
Dan, do you have
there.
A girlfriend?
He has a girlfriend.
I have.
I had a funny experience when I was doing stand up in Oakland, where I was doing a set right next to a train track, which like a train track.
That's beautiful.
Like, and when the trains came by, they would blow the whistle very loud. And before the show started, they were like, "Yeah, there's a few trains that go by. One's loud, one's quiet." And I was like, "Damn. Should move this show." But like then I was up there and I heard the whistle from really far away and I made a joke. I was like, shit, the train's coming, I gotta get through this joke fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I kind of go on and then like and then this white lady in the crowd just goes, the train's not here yet. And I go, no shit. And then I'm like,
did you
I'm
say
like
that?
I'm like, man, you really wanted to talk, like there's no train right now. And then
so
after
funny.
I say that, there's another white lady that goes, she's just trying to help. And I was like, all right. And I went, you know what? Two, I got to back out.
That's
if there's
so
two,
funny.
I got to back out right now.
One's enough.
Yeah, it was so funny, too, because it's like, I guess, like, you know, it's not like I had the fucking funniest response, but also the crowd was, like, not totally there. And it's one of those moments where you want to be like, is it not insane that she just said the train's not here when it's a train? Like, literally, there was the wall of the patio, 2 feet, and then a train.
Right.
And it was like, we'd know.
Right.
We would be aware. Can I also just really quick, I just want to say, the Bay Area, I've been there twice now, still makes no sense to me.
Explain.
I truly do not get it. Like, I got a fucking burger in Berkeley, and the structure of it was bun, cheese, burger, lettuce, tomato on the bottom, and they burn the bun.
Wait, are you the one who tweeted about the tomato being on the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Crazy.
I was just like,
you
I thought
that.
Someone else did that, and I was like, did two
that's
people
just,
in the same week get a tomato?
It's just
on the
one
bottom?
Example. You gotta pay a toll to enter the city. I don't understand
on
that
the bridge,
part.
Right?
Yeah, and it's like it's the tech people have ruined it. But there's just this whole thing in SF where people.
I don't
are
think
like,
tech people invented the toll.
No, but I'm saying,
okay. The first thing we're gonna do AI. The second thing we're gonna do toll bridge.
Yeah, they invented tolls. But there's just like this vibe in SF. Like all the comics I met were all cool and shit, but like. There's this just vibe in SF where the people are like, you know, I don't know if I really need to, like, go to L.A. And it's like, they're like, you know, you can just kind of stay in SF. And the whole time I just want to be like, why? Why, though? It sucks here.
It's
all
nice.
Of your restaurants close at 10 and you have no street food.
Yeah, that is tough. I love San Francisco. I love Oakland personally. I could see you hating it.
I don't get it.
It's
like
but this is that is a city that is diametrically opposed to your personality.
How so?
Because there's no fuck you attitude.
Nobody's
there.
Pushing pee.
No one's pushing pee.
It's ridiculous.
But no, like you like a city like LA where there's like there is not only a baseline of chaos, because there is a baseline of chaos in San Francisco, there's like a roughness and a kind of an anger and a resentment in LA that I think you play off of.
Yeah, you want to be competing against people, and you want people to hate you.
Yes. Yeah,
and
you want people
everyone
to
in San
hate
Francisco
you.
Is like, oh, he's angry.
Yeah,
in SF, I'm just like, I'm like, nobody's making moves here. Like, we're just pretending to, but like, nothing is fucking happening here.
No one's making.
No
moves
one's
in
making
San
moves.
Like, make a move.
I'm fucking. I had one of the best.
Do you even care about your TikTok?
Yeah, I had one of the best. I had two very very funny experiences. One of them was I walked outside and there was this dude that like immediately just seemed like a cool dude. And we were like, hey, man, like, is there anything to do around here? And he was like, nah, really. And then we just like very politely got on the topic where me and my friend were like, man, like, to be honest, we fucking hate it here. Like, it sucks dick here. And like, we feel bad about it. And he was like, he's from Berkeley. And he was like, yeah, man, like, it's pretty ass here. And he was like, you can go to this one bar in SF. And then he literally goes, but if you don't like that, I would probably just go home. He's so like, if you don't funny. Like that. And then we had another time where me and my friend, we're right in the college town of Berkeley. Like, we're literally a 30-second walk from Berkeley. So every store and restaurant there is for college kids. And we had one night where we were just, like, getting, like, angrily fucked up. Like, just drinking so much.
Resentfully drunk.
We're smoking blunts on the street just around people. And people are like, it smells like weed. And I'm like, I'm smoking a blunt right now. Like, just getting pissed. Like, pissed to just be there. So pissed we're, like, having fun. And at one point, me and my friend are on the street, like, eating a burger. And then this group of college kids pass. And I see them and I just go, do you even like living here? And then they're like, jokingly, like, no, we hate it. We're crazy. And then a kid goes, I'm bipolar. And then I'm like, sick. And they keep walking. Yeah. I'm like, I'm bipolar too. It's characterized by chronic major depression and fits of hypermania. And then so I start funny. Describing bipolar too. And then I'm on lamotrigine. Just to be like, just when they're like, oh, we're going to fight back. I'm like, I want to get to the point where it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
I want to get to the point where they're going home and they're like, that wasn't
I cool. think every comedian has like their sort of vibe, right? Like Matt, you're a guy at a party who you think is going to just be like a normal, like just sort of like, hey, I'm, and then you turn out to be wild, right? Cooper is like a heightened version of a crazy guy on the street. Cooper's like the best version of a crazy guy yelling on the street.
I like to have the vibe when I'm at a show where people are like, does he do comedy?
Well, yeah, you like, are, I mean this in the best, I can't mean this in a good way, but if you had a gun, I wouldn't be surprised.
It actually was really funny. I did have a week. I had a week where I was like, it would be great.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like,
funny.
Strangers yes, would suspect
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like, a quiet demeanor. And yes. just, like, you know, people are like, people, I'm loving this party. And Cooper just slowly starts, like,
that's,
polishing.
Yeah. That's the only thing people said to me for the first 3 years when I had stand-up. Is like, I fear that you're going to shoot us.
They also said that, let's not be unfair here, because you would go on stage and say, I have a gun.
I was saying, I had a whole month where I just kept saying, I have a gun.
Where you kept saying, I have
so,
a gun.
It's so
and
funny.
Three of your friends had to take you to the side and say, hey, buddy, it's a funny gag because we know that you don't.
Yeah.
But you got to stop.
It's still funny.
That. No, stop. Not at the camera. The cameras are good.
I had a day, like a couple weeks where I was like, for no reason, I was like, it would be sick to have a snub-nosed revolver. Like, just like a small revolver. And then I remember I was like thinking about it for no reason. And then I told you and you go, you can't have a gun. And I go, why? And you go, you would kill yourself. And I was like, oh. And I literally was like, it wasn't even a joke. We're like, it was funny, but I was like, oh, you're right. Like, right. It was as if me being like, I want to get a massage chair. And you were like, you don't have room for that.
Right.
Like, you were like, that's not going to work
for
you.
You can't get a dog. You live in a three-bedroom apartment with four other people.
Yeah. I said that with a group of people the other day, and they were like, what? And I was like, I'm just saying, like, if I had a gun, I'd probably kill myself.
Well, because you will have, like, it shows, like, the nature. Because you know the statistic about when they got rid of this specific kind of gas furnace that they had in England that you could, like, turn on or put your head, and you would be dead in seconds.
Seconds.
They got rid of that, right? Because people were using it to kill themselves, but also it was just very unsafe.
Wait, what were they using to kill themselves?
This gas kind of stove thing. It was like a kind of furnace or stove or something of that nature.
Sylvia
that
Plath it was, vibes.
It was very easy to use to commit suicide. And when they got rid of it, not just because people were killing themselves with it, but because it was unsafe, suicide rates dropped dramatically.
Oh, yeah. Because it wasn't that easy.
Because
it
wasn't accessible. Because
you could just go in your kitchen and be like, you know what? I'm just going to slowly.
You could have like a manic fit of rage that would have only lasted a few seconds.
And you're like, I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to eat dinner and I'm probably going to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, I mean, it kind of gets rid of this idea where it's like, well, if someone's going to do something, they're going to do it no matter what. It's like, no, that's statistically proven to be wrong.
You got to stop yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, when you have someone who's like prone to fits of manic rage or like were going into like fits of depression and stuff, you could easily make the argument where it's like, well, if they were going to do something, they're going to do it either way. And it's like, no, that's not how those impulses work. Yeah. It is an impulse. And it's like, if you have that impulse, but you don't have access for enough time for that impulse to settle down, a lot of the times it will go away. Not every time, but a lot of the
times. Most times,
yeah.
You're like, it's just the idea of like setting yourself up for success.
Yes.
It's easier right. if you don't have things around you that you can kill yourself with.
Yes. And it's a great. That's a billion-dollar mindset.
It is.
I just say, if Dan had a gun, people would be like, oh, he's going to protect me. If I had a gun, people would be like, of course he does. He's a fucking moron. Yeah. And if Cooper had a gun, they'd be like, I am scared.
You could be. Yeah. You could certainly be the token gay at a gun club.
It would be
that's kind of your vibe on stage. Yeah, that is that's your vibe on stage. Your token gay guy at a gun club.
All the guys are so excited when you come. They're like, "Hey, Matt!" Yeah, like they're all saying it in unison.
You have like bandoleros on. You have like fucking bullets going in.
With this shirt.
I have like an Arnold Palmer from Chick-fil-A in my hand.
They're like, "Matt's here."
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Dude, that you should.
I am into it. I'm a contrarian, unfortunately.
You're a born contrarian. You love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, sucks. I listen to Red Scare.
Have you talked about how you love Chick-fil-A?
On the pod?
Yeah.
Did you see? I talked about it a lot
on
stage.
You talked about it on stage, yeah.
Also, I talked about, like, well, also I looked into it, and, like, Chick-fil-A hasn't donated to hate groups in years, and I'm like, it's fucking delicious. Let me eat it if you're going to wear your fucking Nike sneakers that are made in a sweatshop. Like, let me fucking live.
Right.
Also, like, if you care that much, then maybe just straight people can't eat it as a punishment. I don't know. I don't care.
I don't eat Chick-fil-A because I'm woke and not because I would never eat that food no matter what.
You don't
what.
Eat Chick-fil-A because you... I care about your body.
No, I care about society. That's why.
But there was a guy at the... I said, I was like, I love Chick-fil-A. And a guy screams out and he goes, Chick-fil-A is good. And then I just looked at him and I was like, yeah. I was like, what did you say? And he's like, it's good. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I continued to talk about Chick-fil-A. And he goes, no, Chick-fil-A really is good. And I was like, what do you want
from here? He
thought
you were being ironic. He was like, he couldn't even believe a gay
No. It was a gay guy. And he was like, I'm on the same team as you.
Right. People like to do that.
And he wasn't drunk either. I was just like, okay, cool.
I thought it was a bigot who was, that was his calling card. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I love Chick-fil-A.
No, he was a full-fledged flag it.
I fucking
he was a full-fledged. He was a flag it.
I started eating Chick-fil-A again when I was in Colorado with my beautiful, amazing gay friend Dylan Sullivan.
Beautiful, amazing.
Oh, Dylan is also the token gay at a gun range.
Yeah,
yes, definitely.
And we were going to Chick-fil-A, and at one point I was like, "Damn, like, do we want to go to Chick-fil-A?" And then he just goes, "You know, I worked at Chick-fil-A, and they were nice to me." And I was like, that's all I need. I was like, I was there and they were nice to me. And I was like, all right, solid.
The Chick-fil-A on Sunset and the Chick-fil-A in Hollywood, everyone who works there is a black trans woman.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Everyone who works there
is
a black trans
woman.
Not
everyone.
Go there. Tell me one person who's not black and trans. So I'm just saying, if you're like, I'm not going to Chick-fil-A because I support gay rights. It's like, okay, yeah. And these black trans people don't. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I won't support their place of work because it feels like fake allyship.
It's also like, I would say like probably a solid 30% of every major company is donating to something evil.
Yeah.
If
absolutely.
Not themselves, if not just being evil.
Yeah. Well, that one just kind of,
it's
like,
a fake way of feeling like you are doing something good is to be like, I don't eat at Chick-fil-A.
Well, just eat the sandwich.
Eat it. Take the sandwich in your mouth.
Also sponsor us.
That yeah.
That would be sick. Oh my God. That would be actually really cool.
We just eat chicken sandwiches.
Okay, I need to go to Chick-fil-A and interview managers and stuff and actually find out the facts on this before I fully endorse them.
Okay, fair enough.
I need to do that.
You already
I will.
Have.
That's my homework. What?
You just did.
I mean, I did online research, but like, I want to like really get to the bottom of this.
I told you. I told you about.
It's going to turn into a really good expose documentary where I find out that Chick-fil-A is a human sex trafficking.
I had a friend who loved shoplifting, but they were real like DSA kind of like socialist type
what
people.
What is DSA? Democratic Socialists of America. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And they were like, well, I only shoplift from companies that do bad things. Like, I shoplift from Target because they donate. And I'm like, that's great. And I'm not going to judge you for shoplifting from, like, a big corporation. I think, like, I don't do that. But also, it's not the kind of thing where I'm going to judge someone for it. It's like, that's up to you.
That's
but,
addict behavior.
But don't act like you're doing this for anything other than the fact that you like to steal.
Yeah, don't do activism that pretty much only benefits
you. Only benefits you.
I used to steal for 4 years. I didn't buy groceries. I would wear a nice shirt to Vons, and I would fill up a shopping cart with whatever I wanted, like it was Christmas, and I would walk to my car.
That's so
I did
great.
Not pay and for groceries.
Did anyone ever say anything?
Not once.
Not once.
Not one time. And it was great, but every time a cop car went by,
you would be nervous.
It's not worth the amount of like guilt or like looking over your shoulder feeling like, am I going to get caught one day? Also, you just feel like shit.
Right.
But it's like when I was in program, it's something that like a lot of people steal. But it's this idea in your mind where you're like, I was wronged in the past. Like somewhere subconsciously, I'm like, well, I was closeted for 20 years because society didn't accept me. Therefore, I deserve free groceries.
Right.
Like that person can justify and be like, Target gives to like some Republican donation thing. But it's because that person is like, people made fun of me in middle school, so therefore I get to have free mascara from Sephora.
No, there's this big thing in the mindfulness training course that I took that was really helpful to me, where they talk about specifically stealing. Like they talk about morality and stuff, and how in mindfulness you get to kind of like create your own morality because it's not a system of beliefs, but they're like having your own code of morality that you stick to is important. It doesn't matter what that is, but they talk about the dynamics of stealing, where they're like, a lot of times, the act of stealing, if it's not out of necessity, like if you're not a person that needs this food and takes it, which is like, that's obviously like completely justifiable. But if you're a person who is stealing when they don't need to steal, a lot of the times that's like resistance to the reality in which you're in. So you're like, I am actively denying the reality that I am a part of, because it's like an act of petulism almost, where they're like, fuck this. I don't like living in the system where I have to buy things. Fuck it. I'm going to steal it. Dur, 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 dur. And it's like this thing in your mind that's like complete resistance to the actual reality that you live in, where it's like, no, we live in a system where we have to pay for things. And it's like capitalism is in a ton of ways corrupt, and in a ton of ways in the system we have now should be changed. But as it is right now, your act of stealing is not an act of actual like activism or an act of like standing up for yourself. It's actually straight up just like a self-serving denial of reality.
It's narcissism. Yeah. And it's narcissistic to be like, I'm doing this because I'm fighting capitalism.
It's double narcissism.
It's like someone being like, don't fuck with me, I've had a bad day. And it's like, why don't you just be a fucking adult?
Like, everyone has bad days, so that doesn't mean you get to be an asshole.
Dude, right. I had such a funny experience at Vons a while ago. I was like 7 years old walking in with my mom, and I just see a guy lift
I had
up
a funny
his...
experience last week. I was 7 years old.
I said a while ago. I will I have a gun.
Okay, sorry.
What are you doing to Cooper?
What's
Cooper,
going on?
I'm sorry. Can I pause you for a second?
I'm sorry.
What is this?
I was lost in the woods.
That was mean. Just when you say a while ago and then it's 14 years ago. You said 15 years ago.
That's a while ago. That's a while.
I think of a while ago like 6 months.
It's just funny for
That's
you to
stupid.
Try to be the call out person when you are the most distractible person of all time.
6 months is a little
I'm
while.
Beautiful.
Because you're beautiful.
Six
no, no
is...
one's saying you're not.
I'm distractible.
Is a little while.
Yeah, it's not a word. You're right.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're 15 years ago, you were at Vons.
On my back.
Do it again.
Okay,
do it again.
Sorry, I touched your back.
It was just,
God.
Just
we're in a professional workplace. Please don't touch my back.
Touch the small
no,
of back
it didn't.
Again. Do it again.
I mean, it was
Thank
fun.
You.
Ah! But I was walking
He's got
into
a muscular
Vons,
back.
Yeah, he is.
And then
I can see why all genders like him.
I'm just very skinny. But I was walking in. I'm just very skinny. I was walking into Vons, and then I just see a guy lift up his hoodie, and there's just a gun there. And sure. So I just tell my mom, like,
and you lift up your shirt, and there's also a
and
gun.
I also have a gun. I'm seven, and then and so I tell my mom, I'm like, well, that guy has a gun, and she's like, all right, let's not go into Vons. And then she's like, let's call Vons, or like we see a security guard, so we just tell him like that guy has a gun, and then we leave, and we're expecting something to happen. And then we find out later that after we told the security guard, she just went home.
The security guard.
Yeah, she just left, which I think
so
is so sick.
Funny.
Which is such an example of like, I
she's
make
like,
minimum wage.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
That's
like,
why you should
I ain't
pay people
enough for this fucking shit.
You should pay people more money, because if she was getting like a cop salary, she probably would have done something.
I'd still leave on that.
Yeah, I would absolutely leave.
I think he like tried to rob it, and then they immediately were like, that's a fake gun. And then he just left.
Hilarious.
That's what I heard. Because it wasn't like on the news or anything.
Can I say something non sequitur that I just remembered about Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
So I went to Chick-fil-A probably like 6 months ago, and I'm just driving my car. And I see like a straight comic who's like doing pretty well, and he's holding a big bag of Chick-fil-A, and we're like friends, and he notices me driving, and he looks at me, and he's so mortified because he's holding a bag of Chick-fil-A.
That's
and he like
so funny.
He's like, fuck, I just got caught. This is horrible. And I look at him like I'm mad. And then I pull up my bag of Chick-fil-A and I give him a thumbs up, and he just starts dying laughing.
That's so funny. It's so really funny good. That he would think that you would be upset.
Like, I mean, you know, it's the time. It's like, who knows? Like, I snap a picture of him and I'm like, oh, y'all listening to this podcast?
You listening?
He hates gay people.
Just going home and just crying. Just being like, there's nowhere safe.
Yes.
Just seeing a guy with Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Coop.
Do you want to get to the pan straight gay?
Yeah, the PSG.
Coop, would you like to start?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Yeah, put those on.
Put the sunglasses on.
I lost my prescriptions. I still got these.
Are those prescription sunglasses?
No.
Okay, so the pan thing that you did was you lost your glasses, but you have sunglasses.
And I almost cried.
Yeah, that's in the pan woods. As hell.
It was really
actually almost crying in the woods is pan as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I've never that's Pan's Labyrinth pan as hell.
It's a fella.
Pan, what if Pan's Labyrinth was about pansexual?
That'd be cool. Yeah, you go through a labyrinth and you're just into
I haven't
everyone
fully
there.
Seen the movie. Maybe it is.
That's how sexuality feels. It's a labyrinth.
That's true.
I've always said that.
What if that is the most like brilliant movie and it's literally about being pansexual?
I mean, I'll watch it again. I mean, pansexuals do the thing where we put our hands over our eyes, but our eyes are in our hands.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Did you know that the guy who is a closeted
pansexual
Christian married man? Like he.
What do you mean closeted?
I mean, like he's not out, but the is all of
so
those.
So you just
roles.
Outed him?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. But I went to this Christian film program that like also like James Austin Johnson did and like Ben Avery and like all these like it's the worst program ever, but it's kind of like a trauma bonding experience. But we would have like these celebrity Christian speakers who would like teach us like how to be a light in the industry.
Right.
And that guy came and spoke. His name's and I'm not going to out him publicly, though. But he came and talked to our class and he's like, I was in the movie. And they wanted me to say the word bitch. And I said, what if I say the word wench? And that's how I was a Christian and I changed the industry.
And you're right. In the back.
And
like,
I'm like,
boo.
And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That night I go on Grindr. He's on there. He hits on me.
Whoa.
And he's like married with kids. And I'm like, this is so funny that you were like so blatantly a fucking hypocrite.
Right. That's crazy.
He stars in every one of those movies.
What
you have given as much information about him as you can.
Is he like openly homophobic in any way?
I don't think so.
No.
And maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm being an asshole. Maybe he has like a great arrangement with his wife where he's able to have sex with 19-year-olds.
Well, if we decide to clip this out of the podcast and 3, 2, 1. Matt, what's something gay you did?
Hey, I don't know if this is gay, but the last few... I keep snoring. And my boyfriend, I wake up and he's not in the bed with me. And it's so hurtful. But it's my fault
because
I'm snoring. But one time I was snoring really bad and it's because I was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, I need to stop drinking. So I want to be able to wake up next to him. He said he physically could not wake me up. He's shaking me. He tried to toss me over and I'm too large.
You are a big man.
And then the other day it happened again, and it was because I got too stoned. And I think I've been eating so much trash, and I'm getting a belly. So I like woke up yesterday, and I was like, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life, and I'm not smoking or drinking. Like, I want to be so healthy that I can wake up next to my boyfriend
the
and
issue
him
with,
not be on the couch.
The issue with you is you have the kind of body where even if you do have a belly, you still look strong.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't look out of shape when you do gain weight.
A tummy looks good on you.
Thank you.
You're like a tummy guy.
Mr. Tummy.
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, like the dad bod or whatever is in. Also, like a lot of gay guys. It's so fucked. Like I have reverse body dysmorphia. Like it's traditionally been difficult for me to put on weight. And so I feel like this tiny twink. But like when I do put on weight, I get all this attention from certain guys. And they're like, whoa, someone's really grown up. And then when I like get into better shape, like I take care of myself and I lose the belly, then people are like, oh, you're fucking ugly or like you're disgusting. And so like
I have this idea
that... But that's also
negging,
though. Like, I come across that a lot where I think if I had more weight, more people would be, like, maybe a little less... People are pretty aggressive to me, at, like, especially in comedy settings. But it's like, that's also the price to pay.
I don't think these gay men are negging me in the way that they still want to have sex with me. I think they're genuinely saying, like, you lost weight and now I don't want to fuck you.
They really, really?
Yes. And they've done it to my coworker, too, who, like, used to
that's
be, like,
mean,
80
though.
Pounds overweight. And he, like, got into... Oh, it's horrible.
It's really
like
mean.
Reverse... It's like this fake body positivity where it's like, we accept fat people now. But it's like people who are attracted to thicker guys. And so they're posing it as like body positivity. But if you're skinny, they're like, you're disgusting to look at.
Right.
Tell Matt he's fat. Comment. Tell him he's fat.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was, I got picked up from the airport by, I don't know if you know this, but I have a girlfriend. And she picked me up from the airport. And... When she picked me up, we went to
also
a restaurant.
Your girlfriend, side note, is gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Oh, yeah.
I met her the other day. She's so beautiful.
It's crazy.
I immediately connected with her.
It's crazy how hot
I didn't want to say, like, she looks better in person than in pictures, which I think is a big compliment because she was already beautiful.
She looks really good in pictures, too. Yeah.
She does, but I was like, oh,
no,
you're
that's
cool. Because if you see someone beautiful in pictures, you're like, they probably look worse.
No, it's also because
and I was like, oh, you're gorgeous.
She, on top of looking good, also has a way about her. Like, she has a very kind of quiet, confident way of carrying herself.
I immediately felt confident. She's very confident and has a calm reassurance presence. It's like the opposite of you.
It's the exact opposite.
I'm
that's
totally
why she
kidding. No,
me.
You are very...
She's like a grounding
that
cable.
Was mean. I was negging you.
You're negging me.
I was negging you because you guys didn't invite me to climb that mountain.
You just want
to
fuck me. So she picked me up from the airport. We go to an Ethiopian restaurant, and we're having... We're able to, like, we're able to, like, have conversations where we disagree, and it's not an argument, and it's not about us, it's about, like, another topic, and it's really cool, because she grew up in a very combative family that argues all the time. I have seen them, and it's like...
We're Italian!
They're Italian.
And we're Jewish!
We're Jewish-Italian. So, I've seen her with her parents.
I don't know if I'm allowed to do that.
What, Italian?
Well, and I...
Oh, did you do a Jewish accent?
I don't know. It was more Italian, but she's Italian and Jewish.
You did a New York accent.
Yeah.
You sound like
it was
a
Brooklyn accent. Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
so,
you guys went to Ethiopian food.
So we don't dismiss. Don't you're being dismissive of this podcast. So we're talking about the subject. But
don't sit back.
I'm on 2 hours of sleep, right? And so I'm a little on edge, and I can't get thoughts together in this argument. Like, I can't really piece it together in my head. So as we're talking, she's just talking at her normal pace, but it's cutting me off because I'm going so slow. It wasn't what she was doing. It was how slow I was going. So I was like, can you stop? Like, can you please stop cutting me off? And I didn't say it in a kind way. I actually said it in kind of like a rude way, in like a rushed way. And it was the first time I felt like I had done something wrong in a conversation with her. And it sucked that we were, like, at a restaurant and stuff. And obviously she was like, oh, sure, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, I shouldn't have said it. But it was I felt like it was a very straight guy thing to do, to be like, can you stop cutting me off?
Yeah. I mean, it is very funny knowing her that I bet her reaction was like,
yeah, it literally was.
Like, she doesn't seem like the kind of person that would be like,
yeah,
like,
which made me feel, yeah, no, she just, like, noted it. And
she was like, all right. He is like every other man.
I know I'm sick. I mean, whatever.
Okay, so we have to do one shout out also. Every time someone subscribes to the YouTube, if you comment on the video that you subscribed, we will shout you out.
And Dan will show you his nipples.
I won't do that.
Say my name. Tell you you subscribed.
Alondra. Caverabias.
Alondra Caverabias.
Alondra Caverabias, Cooper.
You can fuck me.
You can fuck Cooper.
You can fuck me.
You can have sex with Cooper.
If you want.
You can fuck me.
If you both agree to it.
If you both agree to
you
it.
You gotta fly
and
out.
Cooper does agree to it.
Cooper will fly you out.
I'll fly you out. We'll go to Benihana.
You have to pay for the flight, but he'll fly you out.
He'll fly you out. He'll go through the steps of getting the ticket, but then you put your credit card
in. Honestly, anyone that subscribes and doesn't want to fuck me, we can still go to Benihana.
You can go to Benihana with Cooper.
Onion Volcano.
Is that the only new subscriber?
We have a bunch, but they just didn't comment, so I don't know who the new ones are.
God, say it.
So comment. Okay. Yeah, let us know.
If you subscribe, just comment, and we'll give you a shout-out. And if you want to in the comments, be like, hey, this is something about me that would be funny if you talked about.
Yeah, we'll do
we'll
that.
We'll do that, too. That would be more fun than just saying your
comment
name.
Comment on the most recent video, too.
Yes, and the most recent.
Don't go back to one.
All right, let's cut this right before an hour. Love you.
Love you.
Thanks.
Bye.